Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified, separated, made holy, set apart by God the Father, set apart in the covenant of grace, set apart to the gospel, set apart to the Christ when we were given to Him in the eternal covenant of grace, and preserved in Christ Jesus. You know, we were preserved in Christ also before the world began, because He stood as a lamb slain before the foundation of the world. For whom He did foreknow, them He also did predestinate. Them He predestinated, He also called. Them He called, He also justified, also glorified. All of that is in the past tense. And so, and then we were called. And now you know you've been sanctified. How you know you've been preserved? You've been called. That's how you know it, by your calling. And then He says, mercy unto you, and peace and love be multiplied. Be multiplied. May this, He says, may it abound. He said, may it superabound towards you. May the love and mercy and peace of God abound towards you in abundance. And then He called them love. He expressed His love for them. Beloved, expressed His great love for them. And then He talked about His zeal. I had much zeal and diligence in writing unto you of the common salvation, and to exhort you earnestly that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what I wanted to have of my message this evening, denying Christ. But He had this zealousness, this diligence in writing to them and telling them and exhorting them to earnestly contend for the faith of the common salvation. And beloved, we need to contend for the faith. But let me tell you where we need to contend for it, two places more than any place else. First of all, we need to contend for it in our own hearts. Contend for it in our own hearts. And in our own lives. You know, Paul, when he wrote to the Hebrews, he says that lest at any time you should let these slip. Yeah. You know, that's why our Lord said, take heed how you hear. How you hear. You know, men can go through great trials. Great, great trials. Men in the Scriptures did. He just read Hebrews 11. Some of you have been through some tremendous trials. Great trials. Great, great trials. And then we can go through great losses. I mean, we can have some incredible losses. But if you lose the gospel, leave the gospel, lose the faith, then you've lost the only means of salvation that God means for you to have in this world. And so we got to guard our own hearts, contend for the faith in our own hearts. That's what he read there. Consider him, beloved, that could endure such contradiction against sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. When you think things are so against you, you think how Christ came to save sinners and then how sinners treated him. And how he was treated by even those who he saved. Peter, a disciple whom he loved, denied him. John, even all of them forsook him and fled. He endured this great, and look at us, how he endures us and the contradiction that we are towards him. Lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. So contend for the faith in your own heart. There, in your own heart and in your own life. And secondly, we need to contend for it in the church. In the church. You know, a church can endure and survive schisms, divisions, arguments, money problems, discouragements, even disagreements. But if a church loses the gospel, loses the faith, and stops contending for the faith, it has no reason to exist anymore. And so we must earnestly contend for the faith. We must do that. God helping us in our own hearts and lives and in the church. A church can go through some great things and have some great losses just like in personal lives. But if we walk away and start compromising and watering down the gospel, we have no reason to exist anymore. None whatsoever. And so that's why he wrote and said it's necessary for him to write and exhort them. Why? He says there in verse 4. Here's just why it was. Why we have to earnestly contend for the faith. For there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation. Ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and thy Lord Jesus Christ. Let's talk about these men. First of all, let me give you this. How did they get in? How did they get in the church? How did they come among the saints of God? How did they come among the Lord's people? Well, there are certain men that says they've crept in unawares. Crept in unawares. How did they creep in unawares? That don't mean they snuck in. How did they creep in unawares? They came in as professors. They came in as those who are believers in Christ. They took the name of Christian. You know our Lord Jesus Christ, they say, here's Christ and there's Christ. Many false prophets would arise and say, follow me over here and follow me over there. And so they come in as professors. They come in as Christians. They come in as believers. And they don't come in and start suddenly teaching false doctrine. If it was, you could spot them real quickly. No, they come in and they're very subtle in their way. They're of their father, the devil. And they're very subtle and very crafty in how they start dealing with things and insinuating things and dropping errors on people's minds. Now you keep Jude and look with me over in Ephesians chapter 4. And that's why we have to earnestly contend for the faith. Because you'll have people that'll come in and try to draw you away from the faith and tell you there's more to the faith. There's more than this common salvation. And tell you there's more in the Bible than Christ to be preached. But look here in Ephesians 4:14. And this is where Paul warns these folks here. He says that we be no more children. Don't be no more children. Don't act like children. Tossed to and fro. Carried about with every wind of doctrine. There's every wind of doctrine out there. Coming up with new doctrines all the time. They got what they call now a new thing going around called the emerging doctrine, the emerging church. We got the church has to emerge and has to evolve to meet the needs of the modern man. And then they've got what they call the new Calvinism. How can there be a new Calvinism? And I mean, you know, got all these things. And I read a long paper about it the other day. And Todd said, send it to me. I want to see it about this new Calvinism. And all said, that's why don't be no carried about with every wind of doctrine. By the sleight of men. Men will say, boy, look at this. Ain't this something? Look at this new thing here. I've just seen that. What do you think about that? And then with cunning craftiness, they'll start telling you, boy, don't you see this? Don't you see that? And that fellow left this off and that. And then whereby they lie in wait to deceive. They're just waiting to deceive. They're just waiting to pounce on people. And then back over in our text, they're subtle and crafty. That's why Paul said, I'm fearful lest Satan by subtlety beguile you from the simplicity that's in Christ. I mean, he comes with craftiness and he tries to beguile you away from the simplicity that's in Christ. Tell you you need to be doing things. And listen, here's how they also crept in. They creep into people's hearts. They creep into their affections and they do it by pretense. You know, the first thing they'll tell you is, I love you and I love the preacher and I love this doctrine, but, whenever you hear a but, automatically your radar ought to go up. Oh, they come, they slip these errors in a little at a time. And I'm going to give you an illustration of it. There are some folks that went to Brother Mahan's years ago. One of them took off and committed adultery on his wife, got caught. And you know who he blamed? He blamed Brother Henry. You know why he blamed Brother Henry? Because Henry wasn't preaching against adultery. What kind of fool has to have adultery preached to him to keep from committing adultery? And then there's a bunch of others got around. They wanted to start saying, well, Henry's not preaching enough about holiness.
And so they started getting together and have meetings and start talking about we need to start living holy lives. We need to have some holiness different than what we've got. We're not living good enough, not living whole enough. And that's what they do. They come slipping in these little old errors. And they'll start talking about, well, the preacher's not saying enough about this. The preacher's saying too much about that. He should say something about this. And then the next thing you know, they've got folks, oh, I never thought of that before. And Paul called them false brethren. And look over here in 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2. He says this. You know, slipping a little air in people's minds just a little bit at a time. But there were false prophets also among the people. There were false prophets. There was always false prophets among the people. Even as there shall be false teachers among you. There will be false teachers among you. And if you could recognize them, you wouldn't know they were false. Who privately, now see how they do it privately. They get people one or two or three at a time and start saying things about this preacher and that preacher and why they do it this in the church and why you do that and why you do this other thing. Don't you need, think we ought to be doing this? And why don't he start feeding his prophets? Oh, you know, go on and on. And shall bring in damnable heresies privately. And they'll come to the place that they'll even deny the Lord that bought them and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And listen, and many shall follow those deadliest, lascivious, pernicious ways. And this is what the end result of it will be, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be even spoken of. We need to leave that place, sir. That fellow's not telling it all. And oh, and here they come back over in our text. And I tell you, not only do they creep into people's hearts and affections by pretense, but they appear meek. They always appear meek. Loving. But you know what our Lord said? He said, beware false prophets who come in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they're ravening wolves. Huh? Ravening wolves. And that's the way Absalom was. You know, David's son. And oh, he was a handsome man, big old long curls hanging way down there, and he wanted to be the ruler. And everybody started bragging on what a fine looking fellow he was, and oh, what a fine fellow he was, what a good preacher, what a good man he was, and all that. He said, well, I'll tell you what you do. He sat down right at the gate. Anybody want to come to David for judgment? He said, no, don't bother my daddy. Don't bother my daddy. I'm as smart as he is. I know as much as he does. You just tell me your trouble, and I'll take care of it. Next thing you know, he said, I'm going to take the throne. I'm going to take the throne. And that's the way they do. Now, he looked like he's dressed in sheep clothing sitting out there. You know, it looked good. Now, don't bother my daddy. My dad's an important fella. He's the king. You don't need to be bothered by somebody like you. I can handle it. I can handle it. Next thing you know, he handled it enough. He says, you know, Dad, these folks want me to be king. He appeared meek, but boy, it ended up being just a devil. Nah. And then they come along and they tell you about a higher and a better gospel. I got a better gospel. Do you know this gospel? Y'all, you just go on with grace, 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 grace. There's got to be more to it than grace. There's got to be some part for us. And they say, we got a better gospel, a higher gospel. And this will make you holier, make you better, make you stronger. Well, look what Paul said over here in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And he says, whoa, if a man brings you another gospel, bid him, don't even bid him Godspeed, just let him be accursed. You know, I was looking there when we sung 309 tonight, 308, right across the page was, you know, lift me up, put my feet on higher ground. How can you be on higher ground than being in Christ? And look what Paul said here in verse 4. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, and there is another Jesus that being preached. Lots of them. They preach another Jesus. And then we've not preached this Jesus. We've not preached a Jesus that's after the flesh. We've not preached a Jesus that's powerless. We've not preached a Jesus that loves. We've not preached a Jesus whose blood is not effectual. Or if you receive another spirit other than the Holy Spirit, another spirit other than the Spirit of God that exalts Christ, or another gospel, which we ourselves have not accepted. You bear with him, so why wouldn't you bear with him who does preach the gospel? And he says there's people that's out there doing that. And oh, and listen, beloved, so they think they can preach a higher and better gospel. And I'll tell you another reason how these fellows creep in. They come in, they say, boy, oh boy, they come in with their education, they come in with their great learning. And their education, they always want to talk about the original language. Do you care anything about Greek? Anybody here want to learn the Greek language? Anybody here want to learn the Hebrew? If we did, what good would it do us? We all speak American. We speak American around here. And you know, so they come in, you know, no greater learning. They make folks say, boy, that fella's so smart, I don't have a... And Wayne Moore told me this one time, him and his wife, they went to this church, they went for a while, and when they were leaving, they said, boy, that sure sounded good, but what did he say? I don't know. They done that for about a month, says, boy, it sounds good, but I just didn't know he's so far over their heads. Said, what did you just say? I don't know. And if you don't know what somebody's saying, what's the use listening to them? You know, and I tell you, that's why they've got, oh, we got the literal. The Greek means this, and it's in this tense, which means it's in that old tense over there, and this verse over here means the same thing, and they go along with all the Greek. And it said the Hebrews this way, and that way another thing. You know what Paul called that? And he said, if the greatest teacher of his age, Gamaliel, he said, I count it all but dung that I may win Christ, be found in Christ. Know Christ. And that's what he said about everything. And that's it right there. We have to earn and learn everything we ever know. God save us and earn and learn us from what we have learned. Yeah. Huh? And they use these things to draw attention away from Christ and to themselves. And if anybody wants attention drawn to themselves, be scared to death of them. If they're not drawing attention to the Lord Jesus. Now look back here, not only did they creep in unaware, this is why he said, I got to write to you and tell you earnestly, because here are these certain men crept in unaware. Now here's what God views of them. Here's what God says about them, their condition before him. Who were before of old ordained to this condemnation. Oh my. You mean God ordained these men before of old? To this condemnation, ordained them to be false teachers, to be false teachers. You know, the scripture says that it's necessary that error must come that the truth may be manifest. The error, you know, he says, error must come so that you'll know the truth when you see it. And of old ordained, when it says here of old ordained, that means written in a book. That means God had a book and he wrote down what everything's going to happen. You know, it says, as many as were ordained to eternal life, they believed. And these fellows here were ordained to condemnation and judgment and damnation.
Yes, sir.
You want to believe a lie? God said, I'll ordain you to believe a lie. You want to be a false prophet, a false teacher? You want to cause havoc in the church? I'll let you cause havoc in the church. But it'll cost you your soul. And as to the church, they crept in unawares. But God was aware of them before they ever got there. And that's why he says that they deceived the very elect if it were possible. Oh, he ordained them. He decreed them to this condemnation, to this judgment. That's why Peter says their damnation slumbereth not any longer. Their damnation's here. You know, people say that God ordained men's ways, the ways of men. But oh no, he ordained men's persons too. Yeah. And they're not only are men's ways the object of God's decrees, but their very persons are the object of God's decrees. When Paul said, "Would it please God who separated my ways from the womb? Who separated me from my mother's womb?" He said, "Jeremiah, before you was formed in your mother's belly, I knew you and I ordained you to be a prophet." And that's the way these fellows was. He said, "Before you was ever formed, before you come into this world, I ordained you to damnation and condemnation because you are going to, you're a liar, you was born a liar, and I didn't save you from being a liar." Now that's scary, ain't it? You know, there's Pharaoh. You know what God said about Pharaoh? Pharaoh, he was walking around his robes. Oh my, he was high-minded. Who is the Lord? He kept promising, "I'll let him go, I'll let him go, I'll let him go. I'll let him go." And finally God just said, "Isn't what I'm going to do to you? The only reason you exist right now, the only reason you're living right now, the only reason I brought you into this world and gave you a being is so I could show my power in you when I found you in the Red Sea. You're going to find out I'm the Lord. You're going to find out I'm God." And that's why this generation don't know nothing about that, because they don't hear this God. You know, not only does he has an election, but he has a reprobation. If he has a choosing, he has a passing by. If he has ordination to life, he has ordination to damnation. And I certainly don't want to be in, I want to be, I don't want to be one of them goats on the land. You know, that's why he says, "Oh," said this, I told you this morning, they said, "Lord, look at all the works we've done. We've cast out devils. We've done many wonderful works. We've preached. We've done all my, we've done all. Depart from me. I never knew you, you workers. Everything you've done in my name was just a sham. It was a put on. It was a pretense. It was a lie. I don't know you." And there's Nebuchadnezzar. God raised him up and turned him out to eat grass. Judas. "Have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil?" And Pilate. You know why Pilate was where he was? And listen, let me give you an illustration. And I'll show you this about how these men old. God warned Pilate several times to leave Christ alone, let him go. He didn't want to even deal with him. He sent him back to Herod. "You deal with him." Herod sent him back. His wife told him, says, "Don't you dare lay hand on this man." Said, "I had a dream," and I said, "it troubled me, it scared me. Don't you raise a hand against this man." And he told them time and time again, "I don't find any fault in him. But willing to content the people, he sealed his fate." Now, why wouldn't it somebody else besides Pilate? Because that's the one God had there. And oh, beloved, and when men start to play with opinions, when men start to play with their opinions and their ideas and their philosophies and their interpretations, and start to pervert the ways, the truth of God, they don't consider the end of it, which is the damnation of their own souls. And that's why he says, you've got to earnestly contend for this faith. I mean, you stand for it. You earnestly contend for it, because there's somebody standing right around the corner just waiting to steal, to rob, and destroy, and take away the truth from you if he can at all. And change your view of the truth if he can. And how did these men come to this? How did they come to this to be of old or ordained to this condemnation? Now let me tell you something. They did not know anything about God's decrees. When they're out here lying on God and perverting the truth, they didn't know anything about God's decrees. Didn't know a thing in the world about God's decrees. God ordained it to them. They didn't know it. And they didn't care. Only thing they cared about was their belief and their teaching and what they wanted to believe. They didn't, and I'll tell you this how they come to this. They didn't believe God's revealed word. They didn't reveal the will of God, his word. They add to it or they take away from it. Or they pervert it. They twist it. And let me show you this. You keep Jude. Look over in Mark chapter 4 with me just a minute. God put things. Me and Bruce Crabtree was talking about this the other day. God puts things in His Word that's hard to be understood just so men can stumble over the Word. And God used it for judgment. He puts things in His Word. And Jacob asked me a question this evening. One of the fellows says, how can, you know, in light of John 3:16, how can you teach the limited atonement that Christ died only for His elect? Well, John 3:16 is not the gospel. It's the cause of the gospel. For God so loved the world that He gave. Now, if you want the gospel, you go back up to verse 14 as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness. Christ must be lifted up. Why was He lifted up? God so loved that He gave. He gave His Son to be lifted up. And when He's lifted up and you see Him crucified on the cross, you see Him dying, you see Him bearing your sin, you see Him as your substitute, that whosoever believes on Him, he has life. Why does he have life? Because God loved. Here it is, love, not that we love God, but that He sent His own Son to be the propitiation for our sins. And why would you want to pitch camp on one verse of Scripture just to deny everything else in the Bible? This don't jive with what I believe about it. Well, I don't care if it don't jive with you. We got to take it all. John 3:16 is not the only verse of the Scriptures. You know, in the world he's talking about, it's another thing. You know, there's three words. Let me see, I've got off on this. I know I'll do it. I'll get back to Mark in a minute. But in John chapter 1 and verse 9, there's three words in one verse of Scripture. He was in the world, and the world knew Him not. That means He came to the earth. That world there means He came to the earth. He was in the world, and the world knew Him not. He made the world. It was He who made the world, the second one, and the world received Him not. The people that's in the world didn't receive Him. Not just the earth, but the people. The world there is the people that's in the world. There's the world that He made, the heavens and the earth. There's the world that He came into, the earth, and they knew Him not. And then there's the world that received Him not. That's the human race. They did not receive Him. All right, but look over here. God puts things in His Word that harden men. They don't understand it, so they take it the way they want to. Look here in Mark 4:11. And He said unto them, talking to His disciples, He said unto them, it is given to you to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. But unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables. Now watch it. That seeing they may see and not perceive, not understanding. They see it, say, boy, that's a... And hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven them. God said, I'm going to let you know what it means. But these folks are going to hear the same thing, going to see the same thing, going to hear the same thing. But it's not going to have the same effect on them. Huh? You see that? And then, beloved, here's another thing that God does. God leads them to follow their own hearts. You leave a man, what if God left us to follow our own hearts? I started out in Pentecostalism. Tongue-speaking Pentecostal. That's where I started out. Wouldn't know God from a goat. Had a great experience, but I wouldn't have known God from nothing. Had a great experience, incredible experience. But what if God had left me to follow my own heart? Where would I ended up at? That's where my heart took me then. But God leads them to follow their own hearts. You know, that's what He said about the Pharisees. Oh, Lord, you hurt these Pharisees' feelings. He said, just let them alone. Just let them alone. Just let them alone. They want to be Pharisees. They want to be self-righteous. They want to trust in themselves. They want to be offended. They want to find fault. Just let them alone. And they said, Ephraim, he's joined himself to idols. God said, let him alone. He wants an idol? Let him have it. Hug up to it. That's what God said. And that's what he does with them. And God does it. Look over in Exodus with me, Exodus 9:16. God does this to bring honor to his own name. Exodus 9 and verse 16. God does this to bring honor to his own name. You know, he says this, Proverbs 16:4, while you turn. He says this, that the Lord hath made all things for himself, yea, even the evil, for the day of destruction. Made all things for himself. Look here in Exodus 9:16. And in verse 16, and he's speaking to Pharaoh. And in very deed for this cause have I raised thee up, for to show in thee my power, that my name may be declared throughout all the earth. Oh my. And you know what we're doing? We're proclaiming his name tonight for what he done to Pharaoh thousands of years ago. He got glory to his name, didn't he? Now let me give you this real quick. Look back over in our text. So we see what they are before God, old ordained of this condemnation. They crept in unawares. Look at their character. Look at the character of these people. He says they crept in unawares before of old ordained of this condemnation. Listen, they're ungodly. Ungodly men. Ungodly men. And I was looking this up, and this means without worship, without the desire to worship, without any will to worship, without true knowledge of God, and without a desire to have any knowledge of God. But now they have a will worship. They have a will worship. They worship according to their own will, according to the dictates of the heart, the way they feel that you ought to worship. But oh, the scripture says that God justifies the ungodly and Christ died for the ungodly. But these are men who won't acknowledge God. When it says ungodly, you call them ungodly sinners, ungodly men, doing ungodly deeds. These are men who won't acknowledge God as the first cause. They won't acknowledge God as the first cause of all things. They won't acknowledge God hardly at all. And one thing, and I'm honest, it disturbs me up to no end. There's lots of ungodly men out there that's in pulpits all over America. Ungodly men. My son used to say one of their favorite pastimes up in the middle of the night, they'd be watching some false prophet on TV giving prophecies and all that, and they watched him so they could laugh at him. Ridicule him. He's a fool. And oh, beloved, these are men who won't acknowledge God as the first cause. Is God the first cause of everything?
Amen.
Is he?
Amen.
But they won't acknowledge that. They'll talk about accidents, they'll talk about chance, they'll say God didn't have anything to do with this, God didn't have anything to do with that. The first thing, God doesn't have anything to do with anything, he ceased to be God. That's the only way in the world we can deal, that's the only way I can deal with things in this life. I don't know how other people do it. That's how Peggy's dealing with it. That's how she's doing. She says, I need Christ, I need him, I need him, I need him. And when she got that news of that strep the other day, or that staff the other day, she said, I just started crying, I fell into Christ's arms, I didn't have no place else to go. I just fell into his arms, she told me. And it just breaks your heart to hear. But she said, I just fell into his arms. I couldn't go anyplace else. And that's what we do. Lord, if ever you know, you don't know, I don't understand it now, but just this is for my good and your glory. And one of these days I'll know it. Oh, these fellas won't do that. They're like those Athenians on Mars Hill that had an altar to the unknown God. And they don't depend, these ungodly men here, they don't depend upon him. They depend upon their own abilities, their strengths, their wisdom, their gifts. And they don't trust Christ. They're not like us when Paul, when he says, I know whom I have believed and I'm persuaded that he's able to keep that I've committed unto him against those days. And these are men who love the praise of men more than the praise of God. They have a form of godliness. And a form is just an outline, an outward semblance of godliness. And the scripture says, from such, turn away. Now, let me give you their teaching. Here's what they teach. And here's two things about them. Their manner of life. Look at the first thing about them. They turn the grace of our God into lasciviousness. That's the first thing they do. That's the first thing they do. And they take grace and make it something less than grace. And secondly, by doing that, they deny the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, they don't get up and say, I don't believe Jesus Christ is the Lord. They don't do that. No, I'll tell you how they do. They turn grace into lasciviousness. They turn the grace of God, the gospel, into wantonness. Shameful conduct, shameless conduct. That means their absence of any restraint. They have no restraint upon themselves. The scripture says they're past feeling. And look, Paul warned the church of that over here in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 21. Just, you know, you go right back to your left, just a couple of pages, a few pages, 2 Corinthians 12, 21. You know, there's nothing about the gospel, nothing about the grace of God that would cause a man to live a lascivious life. Is there? No, the gospel, you know what it does? It turns us from idols to serve the living God. It makes us ashamed of sin, and these fellows are preaching a gospel that makes them where they're not even ashamed of sin. They have no restraint. They're past feeling. And look what he says here. Paul told them here in verse 21, 2 Corinthians 12. Unless when I come again, my God will humble me among you, and that I shall bewail many which have sinned already, and have not repented of the uncleanness and fornication and lasciviousness which they have committed. He said, when I get there, you folks that's lived and claimed grace, and claimed you're saved by grace, and claimed you know grace, and you've fornicated and you've lived a filthy, ungodly life and went where you wanted to and lived like you want to. When I get there, you better, if you haven't repented, you're going to hear something. That's what he said. And that's what he meant. I tell you, that's oh my. And not the gospel turns men, their gospel turned men away from grace. Their gospel turned men away from the gospel, turns them away from God. It turns them to the flesh and the ways of the flesh. And look over here in 2 Peter. I want you to see this. Chapter 3. You know, these men have to rest the scriptures to do this. They have to rest the scriptures. They have to rest the scriptures. Here's 2 Peter 3:16. As in all his epistles, Paul, he's talking about Paul, according to the wisdom given unto him. As and also in all his epistles, speaking of them things in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, twist, as they do also the other scriptures unto their own destruction. Oh my. Their gospel turns men away from God. Turns them to the ways of the flesh, trusting the flesh, looking to the flesh. The gospel of the grace of God saves us from sin, saves us from trusting the flesh. And these men use grace to excuse their depravity. Well, I'm a sinner and I can't help it. I'm a sinner and I'm just, you know, all I can do is sin. So that's what, you know, since I've, that's all I can do, you know, and I'll just give into it, you know. God knows it about me. And listen, that's why here in verse 19 of Jude, it says this in verse 19. These be they who separate themselves sensual, fleshly. They don't have the Spirit. That's like Sodom and Gomorrah. They went after strange flesh. And I'll tell you something about God. He'll give every one of us, if that's the route we want to go, He'll give every one of us enough rope to hang ourselves. If you want to go after the flesh and after the way you and deny the grace of God by the very act and way you live, God will give you enough rope to do that. And I don't want to do that. Do you? No. And then here, not only that, but it says here that not only did they turn grace of God, they deny the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. They deny the only Lord God, Jesus Christ, is what that means. They deny the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father and the Son. You deny one, you deny the other. And no, they didn't. What did they mean when they deny Him? They didn't get up and say, well, He's not God, He's not Christ, He's not the Savior. They don't do that. They deny His power. They deny His supremacy. When He says, Thou hast given Him power over all flesh, that He should give eternal life to as many as Thou hast given Him, they say, no. That's not right. When He said, all power in heaven and earth is given unto me, they say, well, really, that's not what it meant. And as you know, He said, all judgment is committed unto me. They'll talk about, you know, God, no. They love His power for healing. They love His power for miracles. But they don't want Him to reign. We will not have this man to reign over us. And they deny His power as the only Savior. They say, there's other ways to God. Now, I can get it on video if you want to watch it. Billy Graham and that fellow that was in that Crystal Cathedral, what was his name? Schuller. They sat and talked and they come to the conclusion that God had other ways of saving men other than Jesus Christ. They said that there's people all over the world who were seeking the Lord in their own way. And as long as they were seeking the Lord in their own way, God would save them and see that they got to heaven. And they don't even have to, and said, and they haven't even heard the name of Jesus yet. Well, if that soul is never telling anybody about the Lord Jesus Christ and let them go the best way they know how and see where they end up. Where would you end up without Christ? Huh? Oh, they say, well, He needs our cooperation. Yeah, He's Savior, but He can't save us unless we cooperate with Him. We must let Him save us. Oh, you got to let Him do it. So that denies His being the only Savior. And then they deny His work. They deny His death. They deny the power of His blood. And listen, this is one of their favorite sayings. And I'm going to try to explain to you how awful this saying is. They'll say, His blood is sufficient for all, but it's only efficient for the elect. It's sufficient to save everybody, but it's only effectual and efficient for His elect. Now, you say, what's wrong with that? Well, I'll tell you. That means that they can say, God loves every all of you. Christ died for all of you. And yet they say in their minds, and they'll tell other people privately, say, but I know He's only going to save His elect. Well then, if He's only going to save His elect, why don't you preach that the death was only for the elect? Why don't you preach that His death was effectual? It's not just sufficient for everybody. It's only effectual for those who Christ died for. Why don't we just say that? You know, the Scripture says that He laid down His life for His people, His sheep, the vessels of mercy and the vessels of honor, the children of God, the elect, the sons of God. They all got a name. He named it for the transgression of what? My people was He stricken. A fellow told me that one time. He said, every time you talk about it, you talk about His people, my people. I said, that's what God calls them. He said, His people. He didn't like that. He didn't like the fact that, you know, He wanted to talk, include everybody. God called them His people. These are my sheep. And He says, you know what? When He says, how many? He says, you know, they shall deceive who? Everybody? No, everybody's already deceived. He said, they shall deceive the elect. If it were possible. Oh, well, I'll tell you, I got to quit. I'll tell you, it took too long. But you see that? That's why we got to earnestly contend for the faith. If somebody comes in with a